singing. Laramie's already ready to go home. You want to go home now, Laramie? How you do? Yeah, I don't blame you. All right, take your Bible, if you will, please. We're going to be looking there tonight in the book of Proverbs. Let's look in the book of Proverbs here for a little bit. In the book of Proverbs, in chapter 14. If you find the place you're able to stand, let's look there in chapter 14 of the book of Proverbs in verse number 30. A sound heart is life, is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones. Our Father, we want to ask you now to bless the word to every heart tonight. We do thank you that thou art God, beside thee there's none else. And Lord, we want to thank you for the grace of God, the mercy of God, the word of God, the spirit of God to lead, guide, and direct us therein. Bless, I pray now, everyone that's here tonight. Lord, save the lost, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach a little while tonight on sanctified or civilized. Joseph Eileen, I read that segment about him. He said there's a vast difference back in the 1600s of being sanctified and just being civilized. You know, if you're civilized, that means you're trying to get along with whatever's in the society, being civil and what civil about everything. And people are saying, well, don't get all irate. You can be civil about it. That's civilization setting what you ought to believe and how you ought to act. But sanctification, buddy, is the move of God that sets you apart for himself. We're living in a world that's like that. That's the reason why churches are such a mess as they're in. It's because of the fact is that they'd rather get along with society. Mr. Reagan, one of the things that came to mind, he was talking about fascism, people calling fascism. And you know what a fascist is? That's private ownership that makes money controlled by the government. Bernie Sanders, you ever see him, what an old codger. Why hasn't somebody already just taped his mouth shut? He said this country's just got two or three rich people in it and they're controlling everything and it ought to be divided. They ought to, you know what it is, don't you? While he's sitting around trying to sow discord among as many people as he can, these other guys got rich and he wants part of their money. That's what socialism, communism, that's what it is. I want to say that when you begin to look into this Bible here, that a sound heart. Now, we live in a shaky society. I don't know if you noticed it or not. I'm talking about, buddy, you talk about disturbed, and you talk about in and out and up and down and sideways, crossways. They don't know which way they're headed, what they're headed to. I remember used to before Phil Kidd flipped his lid, and he'd get up, you know, and he'd say something like, they're looking both ways for yesterday. And that's the way the world is. They don't have an idea of what God said, neither do they care anything about him. And let me say to you that, if you will, that if tonight you don't have a sound heart, you've got the stink of rot in you, the rottenness of the flesh. And I want to tell you, it's getting worse and worse, and it's drawing more maggots all the time. Now, you know the reason why it's that way, don't you? Is because the Bible said you're to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might, with all thy mind. Every fiber of our being, we ought to be loving God. Now, I realize that, don't lose your text here, but I want you to look over there that, if you will, in the book of 1 Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 12. And the reason why is because that I want you to know that every now and again, people mess up. Now, I wouldn't try to use it as an excuse, and I wouldn't try to reach out after him, but I'm glad that God's grace is sufficient, not only for the present sin, but for the future sins that we'll commit. And let me say to you that, if you will, that we're to love God with every fiber of our being. Notice in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 12, Israel, the chosen people of God, they missed a step or two. They got out of line. But look in verse 20. And Samuel said unto the people, fear not. Ye have done all this wickedness. Yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. I got to tell you something, is that make no mistake about it, that if you'll just serve God and follow Him, look in verse 24, same chapter. Only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth. With all of your heart, consider how great things He's done for you. But if you shall still do wickedly, you shall be consumed, both ye and your king. In other words, there's not one law from God for the parishioner and another one for the palace. And you're going to find that if the king continues on, he's going to perish just like anybody that would be under his regime and in his kingdom. I want to say to you, I'm glad to be able to know that God has given us a provision. Do you realize since the day we all got saved? I mean, here you are sitting here, and for the most part, pretty much everybody knows the Lord. If you don't know the Lord, I don't know what you're waiting on. But I said all that to say this, is that since the day you got saved, He's changed everything about you. The way you think, the people, your companions you run with, the way you regard His word, the way you feel about the truth of God. Let me tell you something, is that you may have taken a step or two off the beaten path. And God said, but if you, Samuel said, if you will get back in line with Him, He'll be forgiven of you. Look, there's a passage over in the book of Joel. I'll give you a moment to find that in the book of Joel. And in the book of Joel, in chapter number 2, I want to say to you that when you begin to look into it, we're talking about this thing since the day we got saved. We want to be settled on the direction we're going. Listen, I'm hell-proof and heaven-bound. Make no mistake about it. If you're a child of God, so are you. And let me tell you, that doesn't mean every now and again you won't step out of line. By the way, you'll never step out of line accidentally. You and I automatically know when we're about to do this, say that, react in a certain... We already know there's been a caution of the Holy Ghost of God in our heart. We already know we're fixing to mess up. But, oh, you better not get presumptuous in that sitting. Look in the book of Joel, chapter 2. In the book of Joel, chapter 2, look at about verse number 12. Therefore, also now saith the Lord, turn ye even unto me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping and mourning. Rend your heart, not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God. For He is gracious and merciful. He's slow to anger, of a great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Now, I'm going to tell you something. We know that if He will return, He says, repent ye and leave a blessing. Who knows but what He'll leave a blessing behind Him, even a meat offering and a drink offering. You know what that is, don't you? That meat offering and drink offering unto the Lord. The meat offering takes care of the sin part. The drink offering means a fellowship offering, and that we're back in fellowship with God. And let me tell you, is that nobody walking contrary to the mind of God is in fellowship with Him. Now, I want you to watch that and see that. God said, who knows, if you turn with all of your heart, who knows but what? He'll leave a blessing behind. And He always does. There's a passage that we ought to look at real quickly. And I believe it's in the book of Hebrews. One of them's in Hebrews in chapter number 6. Now, we read that every now and again, and we forget somehow or another exactly what God's talking about in that great chapter of the Hall of Faith over there in Hebrews 11. But in Hebrews chapter number 6, He talks about two immutable things. And He says in verse 18, in Hebrews 6 verse 18, by two immutable things in which it's impossible for God to lie. We might have a strong consolation. God wants you to be consoled about Him. Who have fled for a refuge and lay hold on the hope set before us. Now notice what it is. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. While the religious world's unstable, you and I are anchored, not drifting along in life. Look at it, both sure and steadfast. I got something sure, something steadfast in my heart like you have if you're a child of God, and we've got an anchor for the soul. Notice, and which entereth into that veil, within that veil. Now I want you to watch this. You know what that is whenever He talks about that? You know the reason why we're sure? You know the reason why we're steadfast? You know why we're unmovable? You know why we're always abounding in the work of the Lord? Is because we've been to the atonement, friend, and by the mercy seat. Show you that. Look in the book of Leviticus in chapter number 16. I'll give you a moment to find it in the book of Leviticus, and I think it's in chapter number 16. And if it's not, we'll find it. Yeah, chapter number 16, verse number 14. Notice, if you will, please, is that we just got through talking about the anchor we have for the soul, and that you and I, within the veil, he's talking about in behind the mercy seat and the mercy, a holy of holies, he shall take the blood of the bullock and sprinkle it with his finger upon the mercy seat eastward, and before the mercy seat shall sprinkle the blood with his finger seven times, and then shall he kill the goat of the sin offering that is for the people, and bring the blood within the veil, and to do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bullock, sprinkle it upon the mercy seat and before the mercy seat, and he shall make an atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel and because of their transgressions in all their sins, and so shall he do for the tabernacle of the congregation that remaineth among them in the midst of their uncleanness. I'll tell you, when we read over there in Hebrews about that we have an anchor for the soul that's steadfast and sure, it's because we've been to the atonement. We've been with him behind the veil. You couldn't have gone in there by yourself, but he's gone in there in our behalf and sprinkled the blood of the covenant of the Lord upon that mercy seat. Now, as we get ready to get down to the short row here tonight, let me say to you that, if you will, when you got saved, something happened to you on the inside. You can't miss it. Listen, not only did you get saved, but there is something that other people can see in you that's different than you'd ever been before. You'll find that it's something solid, it's something sure, it's something steadfast. You know, whenever God said, when we got saved by the grace of God, and by the way, we're living in a world that absolutely are just bonkers when it comes to God and the Bible. I appreciate all the good that Fox News has done, but they're part of the problem. What they do is that, you know, they was talking about the perversion and the perverseness and of the left, namely the Democratic Party, and to show you that we've got, then they pull a lesbian out of the woodworks to be able to back up their story. That works for Fox News, or that guy Benson that's got that, he's married to a man. Does that make you not want to holler snake and run backwards? You see, they don't see anything wrong with that. Isn't it sad that we live in a world now that you can't, listen, that everybody's trying to cater to all these groups, all these transvestites, these transsexuals? They want their vote. You know? I thought about, I don't know what it takes to be able to run, but I thought about running and getting up, my platform being something like this. Elect me as president of the United States of America, I'll get rid of every queer that's in this country according to the word of the Lord, and I'd give them a chapter, book, and verse. You think I'd get many votes? No. That's what's wrong with us. We sit so long in civilization and letting them make the decision that we're just, listen, you can't say much about it if, I walked in to some of these places, you know, and I'll make one of them political comments, and the people that are standing to work in there, especially if it's a gun store or something, they'll just grin because they know I'm telling it right, and they wish they could say it, but they don't want to can't lose their job. We was talking about, you know, the other day, my wife reminded me on the way home, surprising people. Before we started this church here and came, and we was in another church there, and a lady that was at that time married to a song leader, she is out, and I guess the way it was is that I went by, and she's putting her stuff in the car, and I played like I was going to grab her purse, and she got so excited, she throwed it in, slammed the trunk, and her car keys was in it. We had to drive her over to where her husband was working to get it. You'd think that I'd learn not to be able to. I want to tell you right now is that I've heard some of those people there that said, man, somebody told me, a fellow stopped me one day a few years back and said, somebody told me they sure wish they could hear you preach again. I said, all you got to do is show up and come on. See, pride won't let it happen. Just pride won't let them do it. I got to say to you that as you look into it, we live in a civilized but not sanctified world that we're living in. Now, in the lesson, as we get ready to close, let me tell you something. God wants to do something real while you turn to the book of Romans chapter 3 in your heart. And you know what it is, don't you? He wants you to know that redemption is by the blood of the Lamb. And there's no way in the world you're ever going to miss hell and make heaven without coming to Jesus Christ as an empty-handed beggar and being washed by the blood of the Lamb and born into the family of God. In the book of Romans in chapter 3, there's a passage there we ought to look at, verse 25. And here's what he says. He says, whom God hath set forth to be the propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and justifier of him who believeth in Jesus. Now, you know, we live in a world that wants an alternate plan somehow or another. There's not one. Do you have to believe in Jesus? No, you do not. But if you want to miss hell and make heaven, you have to. And let me say to you, it's not going to be an intellectual decision that you're making. It's going to be a touch from God that your faith might rest in the power of God and not in the eloquence of some speaker somewhere up and down the road of life. The psalmist said, Lord, my heart is fixed. You know the reason why you're still by the stuff? God fixed you the day he saved you. Put a new song in your heart. Even praise unto our God. I want to tell you, people ought to see a servant of the Lord, and that means simply this here. It makes them want the same for their life. It makes them want the same for their children. It makes them want the same for their grandchildren. I want to tell you something. We ought to be living in such a manner and have the joy of the Lord that one of our children ought to be able to look at us, if you're a lady, and say, hey, I want God to do for me what he did for my mama. I want God to do for me what he did for my daddy. See, I want to say in closing that, if you will, is that if you trust the Lord, you'll have a sound heart. And if you don't, you're going to have a rotten smell because you cater to the flesh. I don't know about you, but I'm glad to know him in the free pardon of sin. There's no way in this world that you'll ever find anybody to take the place of hell-killing, heaven-sent revival and salvation that comes from the Lord. I wonder, do you know him tonight? Let's stand to our feet, our heads are bowed. Our Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of anybody here tonight that's just civilized, then may you trouble their heart till they become sanctified by the blood of the Lamb. We want to say thank you for loving us, giving us a good day, a great family, the Spirit of God to lead us into thy blessed word. Thy word is truth. Thank you for loving us while we were unlovable. I pray you'd save the lost and lift up the downhearted in Jesus' name. Amen.